Our gospel today continues the readings from Matthew, and for the last couple of Sundays, we've been hearing part of Jesus', you might say, conversation or argument with the chief priests and the Pharisees in the temple. This is after Palm Sunday when he arrived in Jerusalem. And so this is the third of those parables. And so here now, Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 33. Jesus said to the people, listen to another parable. There was a man who owned a vineyard, and he built a fence around it, and he dug a wine press into it, and he built a watchtower. And then he leased it to tenants and went off to a foreign country. When the harvest time came, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect the produce. And when the tenants saw the slaves, they seized them and they beat one, killed another, and stoned still another. Then the owner of the vineyard sent more slaves, more than the first time, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, the owner sent his son to them, for he said, certainly they will listen and respect my son. But when the tenants saw him, they said, here is the heir. Let's kill him and get his inheritance. So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, what will the owner of the vineyard do to the tenants when he comes? And the people answered, he will put those wretches to a miserable death, and he will lease the vineyard to tenants who will give him his produce at the harvest time. Jesus said, have you never read in the scriptures the stone rejected by the builders became the cornerstone? And this was God's doing, and it was amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce the fruits of the kingdom. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken into pieces, and it will crush anyone on fall. Now, when the chief priests and Pharisees heard these parables, they realized that Jesus was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him. They feared the crowd, for the people regarded Jesus as one who speaks for God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Yeah, this is a parable and a story about Jesus indicting the leaders of the Jewish people, the leaders of Israel, the chief priests and the elders, and you can throw in the scribes in there too. I mean, it's pretty easy to set up the allegory. The vineyard is the promised land that God had given to the people. And the tenants were those that were responsible for taking care of that land, for shepherding the people. This would have been the chief priests and the other religious leaders. And so the people that were sent by the slave, by the owner of the vineyard, represent the various prophets, people who God sent to speak truth to those people so that they might know what their responsibility was, so that they might know how best to serve God and to live as God's people. And of course, the son that was sent, we know to be Jesus. And this is another foreshadowing, because just as they seized the owner's son and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him, that is also what they did to Jesus. They arrested, persecuted. He suffered. They took him outside the city to Golgotha, and they crucified him. This is a parable about how those chief priests and those Pharisees were not open to what God was telling them to do, not open to God's word, not open to God's messengers, to the God's people speaking for God, not open to God's will. It's a parable about them, but it's also a parable about us, isn't it? How do we know that we are being faithful to God's call? How do we know that we're producing the fruits of the kingdom? How do we know that we are listening and hearing what God is trying to say to us by God's message? Those are always good questions to ponder. And to take on that posture of pondering, I think it begins with some humility. It means letting go of the idea that we're right, that of course we're producing the fruits of the kingdom. Of course we're doing what God's calling us to do. Of course we're listening to God. As soon as we say that, then we shut ourselves off from any awareness of what God might be doing. That might be a little bit new, a little bit different. It begins with humility first, recognizing that we cannot completely know the mind of God in all things. And that as time goes on, certainly we're in the midst of this pandemic. What does it look like right now to be producing the fruits of the kingdom when one of the things we typically do is gather together and share the Spirit of the Lord together? How do we know? And it's not clear to me that, of course, we in the church is producing the fruits of the kingdom. Because when I think about the fruits of the kingdom, I immediately go to the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, gentleness, and self-control. What would be the fruits of the kingdom? I think this is a very good place to start. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, generosity, gentleness, and self-control. And when I ask the question, okay, is it guaranteed that the church produces these? When I think over the ages, even when I think across the lands, I can see examples of times where the church seemed to be producing the opposite of many of these things. Anger and hatred and a real impatience. And instead of generosity, kind of a wanting to hang on to what they have and focus on their survival. It is so easy. It is so easy for us to lose sight of what God is calling us to do. And to hence, instead of producing the fruits of the kingdom, the fruits of the Spirit, we start producing something else. This text speaks to us powerfully because it reminds us that there is a particular calling that we have. There is a particular, not a particular, but a very clear part of what a commitment to work with God and what God is doing in this world. So how do we keep from drifting off and producing instead of, oh, they disappeared. I'm going to say, instead of these gifts and these fruits, how do we keep from producing other fruits? Part of it goes back, of course, to humility and really being super curious about how God might be speaking. And of course, we have this clear revelation of God's desire for us, the Bible. That means not only having once read the Bible and discern what it meant, but to ongoingly read it because this living word continues to speak. And it speaks in different situations, different times. And to us as we change in our own ability to understand. But also be listening to those people who are prophets in our time. People who have dug deep into their hearts, deep into their spiritual lives, and opened themselves up to what God might speak. And to listen for those people who have those words of wisdom for us. And then, just like in today's gospel, it said that when the Pharisees and the chief priests realized that Jesus was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd. It wasn't the chief priests and the scribes who recognized God standing in front of them, this prophet amongst all prophets. But it was the people, the ordinary folk, people outside that little group who then spoke to, who recognized that Jesus was a prophet. Jesus was one speaking for God. So also, especially when we're trying to figure out if we are producing these fruits, who best to be listening to and in conversation with than the people around us? When I say around us, especially around us as a church, our neighbors, our friends that we interact with and we reach out to, what's their experience? This is part of the work that the centering team has been doing, the first listening team and now the centering team. How well are we doing? How might we better produce these fruits of the kingdom? Now, there's some harsh words here. Jesus says if in the parable, you know, the kingdom of God was going to be taken away from the chief priests and the Pharisees and given to the people that produce the fruits of the kingdom. We don't like to hear that. And God forbid we end up not producing these fruits. But the real good news is that if we produce these fruits, guess what? We get to live in a world full of these fruits. Don't you want to live in a world full of joy and peace and patience and generosity? That's the funny thing. When we get our sights off trying to hold on to what we have, when we get our sights off trying to hang on and give into fear, and instead start trusting God and living out this faith, then the fruits start abounding. First, those around us, and then spreading and overflowing to all those. The opportunity we have, it's the calling we have, it is the promise that Jesus gives us. If you will trust me, if you will follow me, if you will keep my commandments, then you will have an abundant life. This is what an abundant life looks like. Let us recommit once again to being on the lookout and asking the question, what fruits are we producing? And when we need to change what we're doing, let's shift, allow the spirit of love and joy and peace and patience to fill us and overflow and help create this kingdom of God here on earth right now.